about Boxing Day. I mean, we've said we enjoyed our celebrations yesterday, and then you've got this funny day called Boxing Day. And this is really the first time I've really, in all my years, I've never really thought about Boxing Day until today. And of course, when you get my friend there saying, will you do such a date? And I thought, oh, it's Boxing Day. I've never even preached on Boxing Day before. So it's a first for me. Thank you. A really first time. You know, I thought as a youngster that it was to do with boxing. Because my dad was a bit of a boxer in his younger days. In the 1920s, he used to box. And I remember my mum saying that he'd won a couple of fights in Hightown Hall. And I think he got £5. I got a bit more now, wouldn't he, when you think about it? But that was Boxing Day for me then. But it's not, is it? Boxing Day, first of all, comes from when the very, very rich folks who had big houses and lots of servants, but thought, I really must kind of do something at least one day a year. And so they had the day off. The servants had a day off for Christmas Day. And they were given a box with whatever in. And these very important people, very rich important people, used to give something to the poor. And it was their way of being nice. That's good, Boxing Day. A day off for the servants. And I've often wondered if these servants were even too tired to enjoy their day off because they worked so hard. Today, Boxing Day now, I keep seeing cars going by. And it's a time, what is it for? To go to the sales. It's the shopping day, isn't it? It's the bargain day. Well, we've just missed them all. They've all gone. I'm sorry. So you can report back to me and say, you've let us miss all the bargains. So that's Boxing Day, but it's not, is it? Someone who celebrated today, in my diary, it says it was Saint Stephen, but we'll call him Stephen because that's what the Bible says. Stephen, the first one to give his life for the gospel. We are very fortunate in Valesworth, in this lovely church. And I must say, can I thank the people who've made it so lovely at the front here? I just think it's beautiful. It's really nice. Thank you. It's nice, you know, when you come in and you go, oh, and all the candles were lit yesterday, and it was so nice. As I read this story, it struck me that we were being, you know, being led to a time when these very early Christians were gathering together. I wonder if this is the first time, well, it is, isn't it, in my modern Bible, it says a food. You know, what does it call it? I've turned over. Like a food bank. Isn't that wonderful to think that we think we're so good doing it now that they were doing it 2,000 years ago? Because of the inspiration of the Holy Spirit on people's lives. Well, let's just have a look at these seven men. What were they? Well, they had to be well respected. They had to be of God's Spirit within them. And they had to have God's wisdom. Stephen was a man of faith, and it said he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And I can imagine the apostle saying, look, I'm fed up with all this trouble, with this food giving. We need some men to do the job for us. But it wasn't just any men. These people had to fit the bill. They had to be filled with God's Spirit. They had to want to. And this is like us too, isn't it? We have to want to do something. And I really admire them. And they laid their hands on these seven men and they left them to it. And I think that's very good, because sometimes we give people a job and then we don't leave them to it. We kind of keep going in and doing a bit. After all this, Stephen showed himself as an outstanding man. The Bible says he was a teacher and he was an extraordinary debater. And that just proves it when you come to the end of his life in Acts, when he really takes the Sanhedrin to town. He was chosen for this job. And I was thinking about how clever this man was. And I thought, I feel that this man, in this century, I feel I'm a bit too important for this job, dishing out food. Don't they know how clever I am? And you get that, don't you? I had a friend at work many years ago whose nephew had trained to be, the airline people who bring the aeroplanes in up in the tower. And he was training for that. And he was a nice lad. And he went for a job, and they said he was overqualified. He was only in the first stage of being taught how to bring a plane in. And I can see people now saying, I'm too important for this job. I'm not doing that. Get somebody else. But Stephen took this job seriously. Let's face it. He's going to die a martyr's death because of it. I wonder if Almighty God, had he not chosen him and six others to do this job for the fair distribution of this food, I wonder how many believers would have been left, because they left somebody out. And that's something that we can't do. We can't leave anybody out, no matter who comes through that door. I've written here, Stephen really got up their noses. He did, didn't he? I like that. I like it when somebody challenges an authority. And we know that he made this very long speech of the Jewish history and Israel's relationship with God, that they changed themselves many times. And he wasn't easy to listen to because he was telling the truth. Many Christians sometimes wonder why they should be bothered with the Old Testament scriptures. But the history of all God's dealings with you and me starts on page 1 in Genesis, on verse 1. And we can't just throw half of the Bible, well, more than half of the Bible away. We have to read everything. You know, Israel's history is the history of God's actions in the world, then, now, and in the future, and when Jesus comes again. People worship God, you know, long time before there was ever a temple. They worship, and there's so many people worshiping outside now. Maybe because the church has put them off. And we can't do that either. It's got to be a simple fellowship. I don't mean that we're all a bit, you know, but a simple worship that everybody can understand. Christ's death at the hands of these religious men, this Sanhedrin, they had the finger in it. They might not have driven the nails in, but they certainly condemned him to death. And that was a rebellion and a rejection of God. Stephen spoke to the assembly about ritual. And that reminds me anyway of how we celebrate our church and how we celebrate ourselves with God. The things which should be meaningful to us. But Stephen said to them that they were going through the motions. And I asked myself, what about me? And then, dare I say, what about you? Finally, we're all guilty of not giving God our full attention. It happens. We're busy. We're just sometimes keeping aware of what's going on. Stephen addressed the Sanhedrin in this temple this day when he kind of pulled the stops out and gave it to him full whack. He wanted them to know that his relationship to be with God was to be complete. We are his chosen people now. Yes, the Jews were the chosen people, but we've been chosen. This is what the row was about, the chosen people, and then some more people coming in, and they didn't like it. In Stephen's day, the church remembers this man whose life was ended cruelly because he spoke the truth. And there's just a few verses. And I love it because he really pulls out the stops. And he stands there and he says, "You stubborn people, you are heathen at heart and deaf to the truth. Must you forever resist the Holy Spirit? That's what your ancestors did, and so do you. Name one prophet your ancestors didn't persecute. They even killed the ones who predicted the coming of the righteous one, the Messiah, whom you betrayed and murdered. You deliberately disobeyed God's law, even though you received it from the hands of angels." And the last verse of chapter 7 says, "And they stoned him. Stephen prayed, 'Lord Jesus, receive my spirit.' He fell to his knees. 'Lord, don't charge them with this sin.' And with that, he died." We have much to learn and much to do. Let's not be guilty of going through the motions, but by the power of the Holy Spirit, lead life worthy of bearing Christ's name. You know, when you think about it, sometimes you've got to have courage to do things. And I thought about courage. Ernest Hemingway said, "Courage is grace under pressure." But I love this one from John Wayne. He's one of my, you know, idols. Big guy, big horse. And he said, "Courage is being scared to death, but saddling up anyway." Are we going to saddle up, girls and boys? I hope so. God bless. And now we're going to see.